Another key early settlement area was New England. In 1620, the Mayflower brought pilgrims to Plymouth Rock, and shortly thereafter, in 1623, the colony of Cape Ann was founded. This colony included people from southwestern England too, just like Jamestown in the south. But the Cape Ann colony never really took off, and its influence was quickly eclipsed by the Massachusetts Bay Colony, founded in 1628. The overwhelming majority of people who made up this settlement came from southeast England, particularly East Anglia, the area on the southeast coast directly above London. They were mostly Puritans fleeing England for religious reasons. And while they may not have been quite as aristocratic as the Virginia settlers, they were pretty high in status and were typically well-educated or skilled craftspeople. These were the original Yankees, moralistic and unyielding, or more positively put, tenacious. Around 20,000 Puritans poured into New England between 1629 and 1641, not nearly as numerous as the Cavaliers, but nonetheless highly influential in their dialect region. They worked hard and they prospered and spread throughout New England into Connecticut and what would later become New Hampshire. And notice again that they were mostly from southeastern England. So still Southern English, like in Tidewater, Virginia, but from a different part of the South, with some slightly different speech ways. More on this in a minute. Now, New England wasn't completely monolithic, and early on, cultural and linguistic differences developed between Eastern and Western New England. Geography and ways of making a living played a big role. People who settled in Western New England became focused on the land, on farming, while those who settled in the East were oriented to the sea, toward fishing and whaling. Or, if they were wealthier people, living in what would soon become the urban center of New England, Boston, they oriented toward England, especially toward London, its political and cultural center. A third center of early English-speaking settlement in America was Philadelphia, situated on the mid-Atlantic coast between New England and the South. The key population groups here were Quakers and Quaker sympathizers, again immigrating to America for religious reasons. About 23,000 Quakers entered America through the port of Philadelphia between 1675 and 1725. They came from all over England, but mostly from the North Midlands, so they brought more northerly English dialect forms with them, not the southern British features that were more prominent in New England and the South. They were also a bit lower in social stature than their neighbors to the north, and they were definitely more down-to-earth than southern plantation owners. There was also more mixing in the Philadelphia area, as English speakers intermingled with indigenous Americans and with people from Wales, Germany, and Holland. Adding to the northern British influences on the Philadelphia region were settlers from Scotland, and then there were the Scots-Irish, one of the most important population groups in the formation of American English. The Scots-Irish were descended from Scots who had moved to the Ulster colony in Northern Ireland in the early 1600s. They retained an archaic dialect that was even more distinctive than today's Scottish English, and they brought their unique brand of English to America in great numbers. All told, 275,000 Scots-Irish and other colonists from the northern peripheral areas of the British Isles, Northern England, Scotland, and Ireland, poured into America through the port of Philadelphia between 1717 and 1775. Many of them traveled westward into interior Pennsylvania, and then southward, down the Appalachian Mountains into western Virginia, Kentucky, the Carolinas, and Tennessee. Today's Appalachian English, the inland southern subdialect, derives much of its character from its original Scots-Irish roots. Some dialect features traceable to the colonists from Ulster include lexical items like knicker for whinny, peace as in a far peace, and cabin, the ubiquitous log houses of the Appalachian Mountains and American West. Some grammar features include druv for past tense drive, boilt for boiled, and the use of anymore to mean nowadays, in something like, there sure is a lot of dialect mixing anymore. And the fact that the Inland South, and America in general, is R pronouncing and not R less, has a lot to do with Scots-Irish influence too. Each of the East Coast settlement areas we've talked about so far, Tidewater, Virginia, New England, and Philadelphia, can be considered a dialect hub, a focal point for what would become a distinct dialect region. Each was born of founder effects from the prominent groups of original English-speaking settlers and also the influences of language contact.